And welcome back to the Film Reel Cast. If you heard this music, it's another podcast. You've made that wise decision to listen to the Film Reel Cast. It's Saturday. Again, it can only mean one thing. It means I'm with the wonderful, lovely, very Deutschlicher Tiger, Neil.
What an intro. Thank you, Stu.
How you doing, buddy? You good?
I'm good. Sad.
I know. It's episode 6, One World, One People of The Falcon and The Winter Soldier, which, I mean, what a ride it's been. It's been so, so exciting. So many good episodes. We've had the highs and the lows. So far, what's been the best for you so far?
I still think it's when he lost his mind, when John Walker lost his mind and killed that guy. That whole episode just sent it completely wild, and it was going really nicely. There was loads going on. Then when he lost it, that was the best bit for me.
Yeah, it's been interesting, isn't it? I mean, I really, really enjoyed the fight they had in the last episode, where it was a truly emotional fight. Two against one against Walker. I really, really like that. There was so much at stake. And yeah, the journey Walker's taken, I mean, from hero to zero, really.
And very much so.
Yeah, and his journey kind of continues. And I like what happens to him here. There's a lot of things that... There are a few things I didn't like about this, which we'll talk at the end. But for me, I've enjoyed the fact that it's not been like WandaVision, where it's so many twists. Is it going to go one way or another way? And it just left you open so much. But this, I love the kind of the way it copies the similar format to like the Winter Soldier, where it's like a spy and it's espionage and double crossing. I really like that about this.
And we kind of said it though, didn't we, at the beginning? So yeah. We kind of called it, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly. And I like that. And I love these characters because I think that they were really undersold, especially Bucky was as well.
Yeah.
And it's so nice that they get their screen time and that you got a whole arc of more Sam than you have Bucky. But that was another kind of gripe that I had with it. But yeah, it's really, really good. And there's so many different characters that I didn't know existed in the comic books. And again, this kind of does follow suit from the comic books, especially when we get to Sam and his kind of reincarnation as Captain America. But we left it where they're going to have the meeting, the GRC are, and you've got the Flag Smashers who kind of infiltrate their meeting in a way. And we left wondering what was in that case from the last episode. And we had a conversation about it, and I didn't know. It was clearly going to be nanotech from Wakanda. But we didn't really know what was going to happen. Whether Torres was going to have wings, clearly that didn't happen.
No.
There were so many possibilities. It was so exciting. But and it's not long until we find out. But we do get a nice kind of callback from the Winter Soldier, where Bucky's entering the building and that guy walks up to him and says, like, can I help you? Should you be here? And it turns out to be Sharon Carter wearing one of those masks that Scarlett Johansson wore, Black Widow, in The Winter Soldier. I really like that. Great tech. And it's interesting why Sharon Carter's there. And she goes on a journey where I'm still unsure by the end of it of what her role is.
Yeah, it's the twist at the end, isn't it, that we kind of saw but hoped it wasn't going to be the case. But it turns out that we were right all the way along. But yeah, no, it was interesting, wasn't it? Because I've sort of forgot about that tech in that film, in The Winter Soldier. I'm like, why is she doing this sort of thing? But that's it was good.
Yeah. And what did you think when you saw, when Sam, in that building, it's obviously the Flag Smashers are there, they're trying to take over, they're infiltrating it, and Sam flies through that window with that suit. What did you think of that suit?
I was a little bit disappointed with it, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I was like, wow, that's a bit OTT with the white and everything else on it. But
yeah,
it was a cool entrance. It was brilliant. And he obviously, he refers to himself, doesn't he, as Captain America.
Yeah. Oh, yes, definitely. I mean, I really didn't know what direction they were going to go in, and or how they were going to kind of unveil the suit and what they were going to do. But I mean, this suit is identical to the one in the comic books.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah, it really is. They've nailed it. And I honestly didn't know if they were going to go down the comic book route, because sometimes they've stuck to it religiously and sometimes they haven't, but they've nailed it. And instantly he says that he's Captain America, and I love that. I think it's so, so good that he announces himself as Captain America.
Oh, no, I was surprised. I still thought that he'd, you know, want to be maybe, I don't know, a mismatch of the two, so to speak. But no, he's just Captain America now. He's donned the shield and the uniform, and that's who he is.
Yeah, it looks brilliant. He looks so comfortable wearing it as well. And the first person he meets is Batroc as he goes in there. And Batroc, he's not made it any secret that all he wants to do is take down Sam. And it's interesting because the only reason why Batroc is there is because he made a deal with Sharon to kill Sam, and she arranged that to happen. So,
yeah,
you're kind of wondering what side of the fence that Sharon's on and what her angle is and what game she's playing and why she's there. But we kind of learn that to a certain extent. And for me, it was a shame that they played that hand so obvious. I mean, we were talking about her being a power broker probably after the episode 4, possibly, weren't we?
Yeah. When she had all this stuff with she had satellites and everything else, didn't she? It was so obvious that she wasn't just on the run, and the fact that she had her own personal army, there had to be more to it.
Yeah. Would you have liked a lot more mystery about that, or were you not really bothered?
It would have been nice, but yeah, it was very in your face, wasn't it, in this episode? Because like you say, Batroc's there, and we know that she's the one that's hired her. Through Carly, you know, to then work with Carly and stuff like that. So, yeah. I suppose I think what I found with this episode, which is what I was afraid of, is they brought everything together too quickly at the end.
It
felt like it was just really squashed into one 50-minute episode.
Yeah, when I looked, the first thing I did was when I loaded up episode 6 was look the duration of how long it would be. Mm. Are they going to try and get everything into 50 minutes? Bearing in mind that the credits are often about 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised that they still had 50 minutes because I didn't know what they were going to do. I mean, I like the way that it is laid out. It is really convenient, a lot of it. I mean, you've got, they separate the GRC into two trucks and in a helicopter. So they've got all the bases covered. And it turns out that, again, real poor security, that the guards, obviously the flag smashers, and that they're helping out, they're loading them into the trucks. Really.
The biggest man in the world. He's huge, isn't he?
He's enormous. Yeah, he's a bear of a man. But I was also disappointed of how easy Bucky was distracted when Carly rung him up. And he just stood in the lobby when his role was to chase them down, that he had a conversation with her. And even in the end, she went, well, you've played your part. This is what I wanted.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call. You know, you've wasted everyone's time. You can tell he's even pissed off with himself, isn't it? Where he goes, you know, he's really frustrated. Because even at the start, he was like, don't let them leave the building to the security, wasn't he? He said, don't let them leave. But they completely ignored him and shuffled them all off into the buses.
And
even though he knew that, he still allowed himself to have a conversation with Carly, which is always going to be a tactic that she's going to use just because she knows that he's such a troublesome nut to crack because he's kicked their asses so many times before.
And there'd never been a bond. I can understand if they went the Sam angle with that because there was that bond with Sam. But there wasn't really ever a bond with Bucky. And the fact that Bucky stopped what he was doing gave so much time for her, it seemed a bit strange. But, I mean, one person who never, ever messes around in this is Sharon Carter. And when they do leave, she bumps into that bear of a guard and puts this device on him. And it really surprised me of kind of, in a way, of how graphic this was. Because he starts to drive away. You think, there you go, he's going to get away with it. And all of this gas, and it's a mixture of mercury and other gases. And you actually see his face and his skull and start melting, and the blood, just the skin dripping off.
It's gross, isn't it?
Oh, she is one evil woman, honestly. A woman scorned indeed. But I don't know how I felt about, especially when you think the fight between Batroc and Cap Steve was so good. And I was thinking that it was going to kind of go down the same route. But Sam was really getting his ass kicked, wasn't he?
Oh, he was. He was getting his ass handed to him. It was, yeah, really strangely one-sided, wasn't it?
Yeah, really strange, especially with the fight he had and the way he kind of he did really well, held his own ground against John Walker in the last one, that he struggled so much with Batroc to actually get him down. And I, when he was kicking his ass, I thought, and I don't know how it would have kind of I would have felt if he would have said it, but when he was kind of said in a certain way, like, I'll keep doing this, because Steve always said I could do this all day. That was his line that he said in everything. Yeah. How would you have felt if Sam would have said that same line?
I think that would have been a bit cheesy. I'm glad he's got his own one, his own version of it.
Yeah.
In a sense. Yeah. I don't want Sam to be a carbon copy of Steve, because that's not how he would be. So it's nice that he's got his own way of doing it.
So I think I would have, the geeky part in me, I think I would have liked that, because it would have been like a nod, and it would have been a nice callback for me. I listened to a few other podcasts on the internet. I've read a few forums. A lot of people are complete opposite, and they say, I agree with you and say, no, I like Sam, as you said, having his own direction, his own dialogue. But I would have loved a nod to Steve, even if he would have just said it just in a kind of an ironic way that, you know, he can do it. It's the first time he's wearing it. For me, it would have been nice, because I love Captain America. He's just such a brilliant character, what he was all about and what he stands for. And I don't know, but Sam does well and he holds his own. And that nanotech, I would like to have seen a bit more, because the Black Panther's got nanotech in his suit. And when it takes on, and when he gets beaten and punched, it kind of absorbs and generates electricity or energy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'd like to have seen a bit more of that from Sam, especially with the fighting and the training he was doing in the last one. I would have thought he could have held his own a little bit better than he was.
Yeah, I agree with that completely, to be honest. But it was still a really, really good fight. But I was, the suit's good, you know. All right, I didn't realise it was exactly the same as the comic books, but I found it a bit too over-striking. If you like, it was just too in your face for me. But yeah, I think they could have done more with it, if you like you say, like they did in Wakanda's Black Panther.
I did like when they were fighting, though, and the shield was on the floor, and Sam kicks that shield it kind of uppercuts Batroc right on the chin. It looked so painful.
He's so comfortable with it now, isn't he? He's completely at one with that shield. After a small amount of training, it just...
Yeah,
he's obviously a natural with it.
It's because it had a montage, and it had, and everything gets better with a montage.
That's it. Everything works with a montage.
Think of the helicopter action when they're is chasing the helicopter.
It's intense, isn't it? And you know that the pilot, the lady that is piloting that and shooting at Sam and stuff like that, she's insane. I don't know if you can even fly a helicopter like that. It's mental,
yeah,
isn't it? But it is fun that he gets to use the Red Wing and stuff like that, and his old tech. If you like, it's not all just about his new tech. I did like that a lot.
Oh, it's awesome. And I love the way the wings dip in the water and you get to spray the water up there. And it's really, spot on. It's really intense and really fast. It's really convenient when he does scan to see if we got any other pilots on that helicopter, and that lady is a pilot.
Yes.
And how did he know that she had earbuds on when he says, put your earbuds?
Oh, I don't know. That's what I mean. You know, there's a lot crammed in, isn't there? And it's just like, oh, everyone's got earbuds these days, so she must have them, sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Because they were rushed out of that convention centre, rushed into a helicopter, And it just, when he said, I'll put your earbuds in, I thought, well, what are you talking about? How do you know he's got bloody earbuds in?
I know.
Yeah. And also, when they are chasing, I really, really, I love the part, and it's done so well, when you get the NYPD chasing that helicopter, and they have a game of chicken, and Sam flies in and takes them both out of the helicopter, the police officers, and yeah. It's crashing onto them. And the way he uses those wings as like a shell with a shield on top of it is so good. It was amazing. It was brilliant.
Yeah, it is good, isn't it? Because he uses it because in other parts, isn't there, where the wings actually dig into the floor. And yes. Stuff like that, and you know, there's so much to this suit, isn't there? It's not just wings to help him fly. You can do all sorts with it now. It's
brilliant. I really would have enjoyed when he got that suit, just like Peter Parker did when Stark made him that suit, and it's got like training mode on there, just to see that everything it can do, all the technology, all the gadgets and gizmos. I would have loved to have seen that, just to it coming on his own, because it looks brilliant. All the tech that's going to be put on there. I mean, Suri is going to just smash it with technology. It's going to be freaking awesome.
Well, you know, with the rumours are correct, I think we'll probably find out more about the suit in due course, won't we? So.
Yes, yeah. I'd love it. I honestly would love it. But you've got the introduction of John Walker. I was waiting for when John Walker was going to come into it. I didn't know how they'd do it, what angle they'd use. But you've got Bucky fighting one of the guys. You've got the two vans there. One of them's on fire as a distraction. And then I love the way Walker comes in and he shouts out Carly's surname.
Morgan Thaw! Let's finish this.
Yeah. See, I knew that he'd want to come for her. I just knew that he wanted revenge. And it was fantastic that he turned up, and he's still in the uniform, isn't he?
Oh,
and
so good.
You know, he's got his own the shield he's made and stuff like that, and you just know he wants to kill her. He wants her so bad.
And especially of what she says to him. If you've got someone angry and you know they're pissed at you, to say what she says about only killing important people, it's Jesus Christ.
Absolutely brutal, isn't it?
I didn't mean to kill your friend. I don't want to hurt people that don't matter.
You don't think Lamar's life mattered?
Not to my fight. I just want the people on that truck.
Turn around and say that his mate's life didn't matter. And it's like, wow. Yeah. But she's completely, you know, it's interesting, her side of it. She's completely now taken over by her... what she wants to achieve, isn't she? Because she's turns around and says, if we don't get away with it, even if we die, it doesn't matter. And if they would kill the senator and the GRC, she just does not care. She wants to stop them no matter what. And you can see all her, you know, the other flag smashers, they're sort of looking around at her going, this is not what we signed up for. And
no, because when you say one world, that it's not united, is it? They don't say it together. She has to kind of repeat it again and again. And even then they say it individually, if like, well, yeah.
They just say one people, but they don't say it with any sort of, you know, conviction whatsoever. No. And it just goes to, you know, they're completely sitting there going, oh, my God, this is going too far. We understand what we're doing, but she's lost it. And, you know, she's turned into exactly what Zemo said she would.
Yes, and I like that fact that everyone thought Zemo was the bad guy, but Zemo knew what was going to happen, knew what happens when people get that power and it gets too much, when everyone else is beneath them, that the person with the power ends up ruling everyone and making decisions for them. Yeah, he was absolutely spot on. The fight with Bucky and Carly is great, and I particularly like the bit where he picks up that chain, wraps it around his hands and punches her in the face. Two super soldiers or super serumed up people fighting each other. It is absolutely awesome. It's so good. And even when he does his superhero landing, when he gets kicked off into that building site, is freaking awesome.
Bad on the knees, though. Down on the knees.
Especially when you've got someone landing an iron girder against you. But
the whole thing, this whole fight scene is absolutely brilliant, isn't it? With, you know, Walker before that, and, you know, he's looking at his medals of honour on his shield and spurring him on, because at one point he's got three on them on one of him, and they're swinging a parking meter around, trying to, you know, they're all trying to just kill each other, or, you know, the flag smasher is definitely trying to kill the rest of them.
And Walker holds his own really well.
Definitely. And it's just, the whole fight scene's absolutely brilliant. And like you say, when he does the superhero landing, Bucky, and she comes down with this massive girder, and he just puts his arm up in time to stop it smashing him through the head. It's definitely just, it's brilliant. It's so good.
Bits of Wii came out when he did that. Especially, you can't beat a superhero landing, you know. It's so good. It's brilliant. And the pilot of that, he drops in the river, and then that lady takes over. I mean, she's got like a license, and he says any pilots in there. But he doesn't obviously know her competency. He could have taken that other pilot out, and she may have crashed that into the river. You know what I mean?
I've got a pilot's license, but it's not for a helicopter. It's
for a crop duster. Walker's shield really holds up well, considering obviously it's not vibranium. It really does hold up well, doesn't it?
It does for a while. It does for a while, but it does obviously fall apart eventually, doesn't it? And it just goes to show that it isn't what we isn't vibranium at all, and that's what we thought, because obviously he was welding it up himself.
Yes.
So, you know, it's quite sad, but also good, because there should only be one shield.
Yeah, so it would have been a real shame, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so I'm pleased that it did, you know, start falling apart.
But the fight he has with Carly is really, really full on. He's smashing her with that shield, and it holds together. I mean, Carly's fighting skills, I don't know any background about her, which is one thing I would have loved. I would have loved to have known kind of a lot more about her. Whether we've missed it, but she fights so well, and she's obviously been displaced, which is why she's started the Flag Smashers. But it would have just been nice to have known more about her, how she knows about these bombs, how she can fight so well. It would have been nice.
I agree. There's no real background into that at all. We just know her as, you know, the leader of the Flag Smashers. You know, and at first we just think she's an innocent girl, don't we, in the back of that lorry at the very first episode. But turns out she's the catalyst to all of it. But yeah, you're right. We don't know anything about her really at all.
No, completely. And what I like about this is people having their own battles as well. I love the fight that Bucky is having in the building site when he picks up that iron girder like a baseball bat and just smacks that guy with it in the face.
That's the thing, though, because he's brutal, isn't he, Bucky? You know, because they've got morals, but his are slightly more skewed than, let's say, Sam's, because he will just, well, if you're going to come at me, I'll give you everything I've got, sort of thing. And, you know, to smash someone around the face with a girder just goes to show you, doesn't it? He just doesn't. So,
The line is a bit blurred with Bucky, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And it's interesting because it kind of goes Spider-Man route in a way. It always reminds me of Spider-Man. We're on that building site, and you've got that, because their plans have been thwarted with regards to killing everyone from the GRC, that Carly decides to drive one of the vans of the, containing some of the members over the edge of the building site. And you always expect Peter Parker to come in with his spider webs and stop that van from falling off, you know?
But he didn't. He didn't. The person that tried to save them was Walker. And it just goes to show.
Awesome.
He hasn't lost it yet. You know,
I'm so pleased for him. Honestly, we've given him so much shit. Everyone's given him so much shit. And for him to be standing right next to Carly, the person he wants to kill more than anyone, and he makes that choice of saving those people, it's a huge redemption. I was really, really pleased for him.
I was as well, because it just shows that he's still got some of that soldier, wants to do the right thing in him. You know, you can see him, can't you, struggling with the serum still, and who he is when he starts shrugging his shoulders and he's shaking his head. And he does the right, and it was lovely that they went down that route rather than him just being a complete psycho. So, definitely.
And it was nice, as you said, that that kind of the argument he's got in his head, the dilemma he's at, that he is kind of like closing his eyes and flinching, that serum is obviously affecting his decision making and the way he overcomes it and controls it. And you see the shield fall on the floor and that Jeep getting pulled back. It's brilliant. I'm so pleased that they turned things around for Walker, because it was getting to the stage where he was just such a baddie. And it was ridiculous. And I'm pleased that they've changed it and they've turned it around, because it does, again, match the comic of when you've got Agent Walker. And that's what I had in one of the comics. It was a case of, how are they going to turn it around? Are they going to go down the road like they have in the suit with Sam, and the storyline with John Walker? And I think it's brilliant. And there's so many positive stories now on different forums on the internet, and love for Walker for saving people.
Hopefully he'll stop getting ridiculous death threats now as well. Cause
yeah, completely.
They like him. And just realise that he's a ridiculous, really fucking good actor.
Yeah, and I still can't remember his name, and it's episode 6.
Wyatt Russell. Bloody hell.
Oh, dear. But yeah, how did you think? What was your thoughts about Sam then saving all those people in the van? Where obviously John Walker's tried to, and he did the right thing, but failed. And then Sam goes in and saves him. What was your thoughts on that?
It was a little bit unbelievable in a sense, because he hasn't got any powers or anything like that. And that truck must weigh several tons because it's an armored truck, isn't it? And I know he's got his suit and the Red Wings are helping him out. It was good and it needed to go that way. But I was a little, it was a bit convenient, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd have been happy for John Walker to be left doing it, because you've then got everyone cheering, which is kind of convenient. And you've got, that's the Black Falcon. He goes, no, that's Captain America.
Yeah.
And it felt really like Spider-Man. That bit in New York City, when or wherever it is where Spider-Man is, when they line the cranes up and all the builders do it and Peter Parker can swing from crane to crane. It's so contrived that I hate things like that. And when they're on the bridge, no one comes to our city and throwing stuff off at the goblin. I can't stand that. And I got a bit of a taste in my mouth of this from this scene. And it kind of made me raise an eyebrow a bit.
Yeah, it did me. I think this whole section of it was a bit cringy, to be honest. There was a lot of things that I was just like, oh, I know what they're trying to do, and it's nice that they're making these statements, but I just think you've made the statements, now let's just concentrate on the comic book element of it.
Definitely you know? and you do get the kind of callback of Tony Stark, where he uses Red Wing to open the back doors of the Jeeps. And then the biggest callback for me was the bit where I actually shit and pissed myself in the cinema when I did go and see Infinity War. It's Infinity War, when Carly throws that metal rod and Bucky catches it. It reminded me so much of when Steve caught that spear, when Proxima Midnight threw that spear and he caught it in that station when there's Wanda and Vision fighting. And I love that. And the look on his face, it really reminded me of Steve Rogers. It's so good.
Oh, it's brilliant, isn't it? And I'm pleased that, she's losing it now, isn't she? She's trying to do anything she can to kill them. And I loved it. I thought it was brilliant. I love the fact that you just cannot get one over on Bucky physically. I know she got one over on him mentally earlier, but physically she still can't beat him.
No, and the look on it, disgust on her face when she sees Sam wearing that outfit and says, you of all people bought into this bullshit.
Yeah.
And it's just great. I love it. It's just, she's so angry, her plans are all failing. And then Batroc comes firing gas and they escape. And I wanted a fight in this, of Colosseum of construction. I really wanted them to go for it. I was a bit disappointed.
I was as well, to be honest. And, you know, it's very, yeah, it's cowardly, isn't it, from Batroc just shooting the gas in there. And, yeah, I was hoping that they'd have a bit more of a fight and, you know, they'd actually get one over. But, you know, it led to the chase, didn't it?
It did. And all Sharon's doing is just watching again at the moment. She's not actually doing anything. I really wanted her to play more of an active part. But again, you get another bit of the tech where they're chasing after Carly and a few of her kind of other comrades. And through Sam's goggles, you see like the heat marks of the footprints. So I think that was a really good touch of just a demonstration of the tech in his suit.
It's crazy again, how much they put into it, isn't it?
It's just stacked, isn't it? It's just stacked with tech.
Yeah, they've gone all out, absolutely all out on this suit.
Yeah, and I didn't know which way it was going to go, and it was an interesting decision they were going to make, because obviously Sam is kind of passive-aggressive in this, the way he fights, and Bucky as well. And I didn't know whether there'd be some kind of incident that would lead to... Well, there is, in a way, to Walker, whether he's going to kill someone again, because obviously he publicly executed that person.
Mm.
And it's good that he and Bucky hand these kind of baddies over, the terrorists over, for want of a better word, to the police. I thought that was a nice touch that they were working together. And you can see a bit of a bond there, which has really, really happened fast.
Yeah, definitely. It's just quite funny, isn't it, though? Because he's just like, Bucky's still like, you know, that's enough now.
Yeah. Exactly. There's history between us, remember that.
Yeah. Don't forget, I still think you're a dickhead.
And you get the standoff, which is where they kind of really do play their cards.
You know, when you came to Madripoor, you reminded me of a young me. I took you in, gave you an opportunity. Then you betrayed me.
Because you wanted to control a world that hurt you.
Come back and work for me again. All of you, we can make a difference together.
You just want me because you need your muscle back. Without our super soldiers, how much power does a power broker really have?
She really is saying to the audience, that I get it personally, that she is admitting to being the power broker. Is that what you got out of this?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was the way she was being and stuff like that, and the fact that she had that, you know, that nanotech mask and everything else. It's like, why would she be there unless she's clearly got some sort of interest? And then obviously Carly turns around and she goes, you know, calls her the power broker. And I just, when I was watching, I was like, nailed it. I knew it was this. You know, you could just tell that that's what it was from a while ago. So it was nice to have that sort of, oh, okay. I was right then.
Because she does say, like, without the super soldiers, how much power would the power broker have?
Mm.
And she says, more than you. So at this point, she's not really kind of saying, is she the power broker? And then Batroc obviously says, so you're the power broker.
Yeah, that's
and then
right.
Tries to blackmail her.
And she doesn't.
Yeah. And she doesn't deny it. And there's a kind of an interesting standoff, because Sharon's in the unique position now of that she doesn't want Batroc to tell everyone, and Carly could tell everyone that she's the power broker. And obviously you've got Sam and Bucky and everyone else walking around this building. So her kind of her cover could be blown. And you never do what Batroc does. You never try and blackmail someone who you suddenly find out is really, really powerful.
No, but he's greedy, isn't he? I'm not a massive fan of his character in this at all. He just seems really weaselly, and you know, he's obviously double R'd and stuff, but he just, I don't know, I was hoping he'd play more of a part. Really? See what I mean? He doesn't really do a lot, and he just turns up and starts trying to blackmail her, and then, you know, she just goes, I'm not doing it, and shoots him, and Kylie shoots her in return. But I was a bit disappointed with him. I was hoping for more.
Yeah, I know. It's quite interesting in a way, isn't it? But why you'd go and blackmail it. It really reminded me of the scene from The Dark Knight where Lucius Fox is with the guy who goes for the accounts.
I want $10 million a year for the rest of my life.
Let me get this straight. You think that your client, one of the wealthiest, most powerful men in the world, is secretly a vigilante who spends his nights beating criminals to a pulp with his bare hands. And your plan is to blackmail this person? Good luck.
But it was only going to end one way. And as you say, I didn't have a problem with Batroc dying. And I think it's Sharon who shoots Batroc. And
it
then
is, yeah.
So he had to go. And then Sharon gets shot by Carly. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So as she shoots Batroc, Carly shoots Sharon in the stomach. And then Sam finds her holding the gun over her. And of course, he's none the wiser, is he? At all. Yeah.
And it plays so well. God, it's so convenient for her, isn't it?
That oh, yeah.
This is the scene that Sharon wanted, holding the smoking gun, literally, and it looks like you've killed someone who Sam really, really cares about.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it, like I say, it's very convenient, isn't it? And Batroc was very, it still frustrates me, because she's brought him in as an assassin, and then he gets taken out so easily. It's disappointing, but it is what it is. And then Sam and Carly start having a fight in which he refuses to fight back.
I like that. I really enjoyed the fact that they decided to go down that route, because when you think what John Walker had, and if it wouldn't have worked if he would have killed her. And the fact that the anger and frustration that Carly was showing, that why won't you fight back? And I don't think that when Steve Rogers was fighting Bucky, I know they're kind of old friends, that he refused to fight him and he took a real pounding. And the fact that Sam took the same stance spoke volumes of how much he deserves to wear that suit and the title of Captain America. I thought it worked so well.
Definitely. And like, let's not forget, you know, he believes in her cause. He just doesn't believe what she's doing, the way she's doing it. And he feels sorry for her. So he's not going to go out and just try and kick her ass, because he wants to save her rather than, you know, destroy her. So
yeah.
It's nice that they carried on that, excuse me, that way that he feels about her.
Yeah. Do you think, because it ends with her pointing a gun at Sam and she kind of like flinches in a way, is if she's going to pull the trigger. Do you think she was going to pull the trigger? Or cause it's convenient, again, works well for Sharon to kill Carly, doesn't it?
So yeah, I think she would have done. Either that or shot past his head. I'm not quite sure. Yeah, I suppose it's that thing, isn't it? We'd never know. But, you know, she's that incensed with her goal and hating everything to do with the GRC and anyone that's affiliated with them, I think that, yeah, I think she would have done it.
Yeah, 100%. I think she had to die anyway because of the secret has to go to the grave. So, yeah, she was kind of buggered in a way. But one thing I didn't like, and it is a bit controversial because a lot of people have spoken so positively about it, but we've had, which has been really brave and great for Marvel, tackling so many social issues and political issues with regards to race and where people sit and how they've been treated. And it was brilliant that they did this. But to a certain degree, I thought the last speech by Sam about the peacekeeping and forcing millions of people around the world in settlements and calling them terrorists. And I think it's good that kind of Sam says, look, this is a really complicated thing. I don't know how to deal with this. And when the answers are coming up, who else is in the room? And I like that side of things, but I thought it was really went on too long and it was shoved down our throats too much.
Yeah, and that's what I mean by what I said earlier. You know, they've made these points and it's clear that they're trying to be very political with this series. And up to this point, they've done it fairly well, and I think we've applauded them for most of what they've done, but you can have too much of it, like you say, where it starts just feeling like you're just preaching at me now, and I don't need to be preached at. I understand what you're saying, I agree with you wholeheartedly, but let's rein it in a little bit, because otherwise it just makes it's just too much of something is not a good thing, is it?
Yeah, and I thought the message just went on too much. And I think what would have been really nice to break the ice was Sam talking like this, and then suddenly Bucky claps his hands and goes, yeah, yeah, enough now, Sam. I think they get the message.
Yeah.
That would have worked really, really well.
Definitely. Because
Sam saying, I'm a black man carrying the stars and stripes, and you think I don't understand. And I get that. But he's kind of, no one was against him. When he landed with Carly, no one kind of booed. And people were cheering when he saved those policemen. People cheered from, and they were black, white, like Asian. And I get his point of the racism kind of faced, but I watch these episodes and the films to get out of this kind of world, to go into a fantasy world of aliens and spaceships and monsters and people who can fly and got ray guns and all crap like that. And there is a time and a place for these kind of messages, and they did it and they nailed it. I just didn't want too much of it, you know. I love just being lost in this fantasy world.
I completely agree, mate. I completely agree. Like I say, it's important, and I'm pleased that Marvel, such a huge franchise, has decided, and you know, with Disney, to tackle it, but you know, do it in the right way. And you have to a certain degree, but it was too much. It shouldn't just all be about politics. It should be about the fantasy that is this, like you said, a completely unrealistic, diverse superheroes fighting bad guys.
Yeah, it could have been a 30-second scene rather than going on. Because, I mean, you've got kind of Isaiah watching him on, haven't you?
Yeah.
And that's lovely. And what happens to him, and the fact that they do have that at the same museum where Steve is celebrated, they've got the statue there, and to celebrate how many people that he rescued was absolutely brilliant. It was such an amazing touch, and I'm so pleased they addressed this.
Oh, definitely, because, you know, he was fucked over big time, wasn't he? By 100%. The government all those years ago, and, you know, he's hates it. You know, he's, you know, the poor bloke's absolutely broken. So, yeah, when he takes him into the museum, and there's that statue there and a plaque explaining who he is and what he's done, it was fantastic. And the acting in it was brilliant as well. He's so believable that you can see all those emotions coming out of him.
Yeah,
you know, the see relief, the
pain.
Yeah, and it was a lovely touch. It was lovely that they went full circle with that and they didn't just leave it.
Yeah, and do you know what else is nice is that, as I said before, I love looking at the forums and people's different points of view, especially when midst the kind of series, just to see what people are going to second guess. And it's been really nice that I know you get the idiots with the John Walker hate, but there has been, I've not seen any comments towards the Anthony Mackie or Sam, whichever one of way they want to call it, about him being Captain America, any negative, stupid comments. Everyone has been in full support. It's been really, really good.
Good. I completely agree. And like I said, and you know, we've said in the previous podcast, it doesn't matter about skin, race, fucking religion or anything. It's about the ideals and of what it stands for. So, you know, I'm pleased that people have bought into that rather than looking at someone for the bloody color of their skin. So exactly. It's fantastic.
And you get Zemo, and I forgot about Zemo, and I'm so pleased they showed him, and you've got Zemo's equivalent of Alfred. And I'm really surprised that the final people from the Flag Smashers who were arrested and rounded up in a van, and you've got the guards, says one people, one world. And you think they're going to escape and it's going to go on the second season, but they all get blown up. I was so surprised. Was you?
I was, massively. I really thought that was going to lead into, the second season where they all escape. Then all of a sudden, he's just there. Click, and he just blows them up.
And he's so unassuming, that old guy in this Rolls Royce or whatever it is so happy. And Zemo has that little wry smile on his face when he finds out that they've all been killed.
Oh, it's brilliant, wasn't it? He's just sat in his prison cell. What's it called? I can't remember what it's called now. The boat, isn't it?
And something like that, the boat. Yeah.
And he's just lays there and he's just, it's brilliant. Just lays down with his book. That's great.
It's great.
He got his way.
Yeah, and he kind of has the last say, and I like that. And then you get Valentina de Fontaine. She comes in, and again, this kind of matches the Agent Walker, where he gets a new outfit uniform, which is the same as the comics, a really good call. And he's clearly over the moon and does his little kind of dance thing, doesn't he? He's so chuffed.
He's chuffed to bits. It's very much the same as the hat and stuff like that, isn't it? The helmet. Very much Captain America-esque, isn't it? It's pretty much the same, just slightly. It's got the flag sort of across his chest.
That's it,
the stripes. Yeah. So, because either way, I don't know much about the comic book, so it was interesting. I didn't know anything about US agent and stuff like that, but he's so over the moon when she says, oh, you're now the US agent.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And I was a bit disappointed. At the end, obviously, you got that redemption for Bucky. And he goes to see Yuri. And he admits that he was a Winter Soldier and he killed his son. And I would have loved more time on this. I really, really would have.
Yeah, definitely. It would have been nice. Because I know that he tells him. And then, it just goes off and you see him walking about. And it would have been nice, I think, if he'd gone and sat next to him in the restaurant.
Yeah, it would have been really, really nice moment. It would have finished it off nice. And when he went to see Dr. Rayner, obviously he left his list with him, with all the names. And I just would have, it would have been a nice touch because he went through so much emotionally.
Mm.
He was so damaged just to have that. It was just a bit, I felt he was shortchanged, really.
Yeah, I think it was, like you say, they've tried to put a lot into the 50-odd minutes, which, like you say, 8 minutes is credits, and they've crammed it, haven't they? They've rushed bits. If you'd shortened other parts that we've spoken about and added a bit more about Bucky and his fight, I think it would have been better.
Yeah, definitely. And it finishes on kind of, well, apart from obviously the extra part with Sharon, the celebration, and you've got again Bucky flirting with Sarah, and I love the fact that you've got the kids hanging off his arm.
I know, that was brilliant, wasn't it? We both do it. We would be showing off with it, but there again, you're so strong, you could probably do that anyway, so it's fine.
I'm so strong. Jesus Christ. But the post-credit scene, which everyone must have checked for, is obviously, as promised by Sam, that Sharon Carter meets the senator and all the charges against her get dropped and she's pardoned.
And she's given a job back in where she was before.
Yeah, which is really interesting. And it's then they just start lining up your buyers. The soldier stuff might be off the menu, but we're about to have full access to the government secrets, prototype weapons. And it's really, really going to be interesting. And I've got no idea who she was speaking to. Have you got any ideas at all?
No idea, mate, whatsoever. I was completely lost. But I was just then really excited because I was like, yes, they've left it open for a second season or something else to come from it. Maybe that she'll have new people to fight or against other, Marvel characters or something like that. I don't know.
It's going to be really interesting. Is second season going to be kind of Agent Walker against the Power Broker? Or is it that she's kind of a triple agent and she's playing all different players? I mean, it's really, really brilliant the way they left it open. Marvel are so clever. The writing was great. But what a good way to finish it. It kind of, the bit that I was a bit pissed off about that we spoke about earlier, this made up for it.
Oh, no, definitely. It was a lovely way to finish it because you knew she was bad. And, she's clearly, how I've taken it is that she is, the bad guy, the power broker. And she's now got herself in a position where she can get hold of all this tech and sell it to all sorts of horrible, nasty people and make herself even more wealthy. So it's whether she finally gets found out or there's going to be another group.
Yeah, and it's really
like the Flag Smashers.
Because I think, don't get me, I might be wrong, and someone let me know if I am, but I think in a comic she did do this and she muddied the name of Peggy Carter. And it turned out that she was being brainwashed, or she had been brainwashed, and that's why she was doing it. So right. I think that's what the story is from the comic books. Whether they're going to go down that route, there's been no hint at all about anyone brainwashing her. But it's a shame she muddies the name of Peggy Carter, because there's so much history there, especially with Steve. But I'd love to them to actually say in a couple of weeks' time, we've lined up season two. It'll be absolutely huge. I would be gagging for this to come along again. But
yeah, I've just looked and there's nothing at the moment. So it'll be interesting to see. Hopefully they do a second one, because they've lined it up. And it'll be interesting to see if it's Sam again and Bucky, or it's going to be two or other people involved in it, bringing some different characters in. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to do it. But that was that was the last one. So what are we going to do on a Saturday? I mean, absolutely brilliant. I was just blown away. Really good. I don't know whether it's better than WandaVision. WandaVision's completely different, and it was WandaVision got me really excited. And you could look at the YouTube videos just to prove how excited I got. But next up, we're doing on Wednesday, it's Terminator 2 Judgment Day, which it'll be interesting to see how it goes, because I really hate the kid in there, Ed Furlong. I can't stand Ed Furlong. He's the weakest actor. He carries it well in this film, but I just don't like him. He was lucky to get the part, and I think it would have been better if it had gone to someone else, but it's going to be an interesting chat, because I know James is passionate. You're very passionate about the Terminator franchise.
Oh, I certainly am. The first two films are fantastic, and I do love the whole concept of the Terminator. So I am going to enjoy talking about that. And the first one,
the Terminatrix in number three, isn't it?
They go downhill, in my opinion. You might like it, to be fair, because you like the weird ones. So
I do like weirdness. It's weirder and better for me, definitely, definitely. But yeah, I hope everyone enjoyed that. And let us know if you enjoyed it. Let us know if you thought the Winter Soldier, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier was pony. I can't imagine anyone thinking that, to be honest, who's an MCU fan. But we'll have to find something. Loki doesn't come along until, I think it's July, is that right?
God, blimey, is it that long? That's insane.
I'm really not sure when that comes along, but it'll be 11th of June. So we've too long. Month. So that'll be another one which we'll be doing. So again, that'll be two podcasts every single week. But
definitely
great stuff. Well, it's been amazing talking about this brilliant series. I've really enjoyed it. And thank you, Neil, for being there every week to do that.
No, mate, I've loved every second of it. So, you know, hopefully the next one we do will just be as exciting, because it was brilliant. I'd recommend it to anyone to watch this.
Totally, totally. So check out, we're on every platform that is out there on for podcasting: iTunes, Amazon Music, Spotify, Podcast Addict, Pocket Cast. We're on everything. The Film Reel Cast. And just check us out there. And we're on YouTube as well, The Film Reel Cast. It'll be My Ugly Mug there. Every single podcast we do, I also upload onto our YouTube channel, and Terminator's just gone on there. So there's so much on there to watch. Loads of things. Mandalorian, The Shield, WandaVision, Falcon, The Winter Soldier, Cobra Kai. There is loads on there. So check that out. It's great stuff. So thank you, everyone. And we will see you. We won't see you. You'll hear our voices very soon.
Yeah.
Cheers, take guys. Care. Bye-bye.